But our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. Stand with me if you would, please. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated and turn to Galatians chapter 6. We continue in the book of Galatians, and we continue with the passage that last week referred to as free to stay in step with the Spirit. And this is a continuation of that message, free to stay in step with the Spirit, part two. Last week we saw how Paul showed us how to be free to stay in step with the Spirit, and how that worked out individually for us, and then corporately as the body of Christ. And how that works out, he said, was by restoring others who have been trapped in sin with gentleness, while keeping a watch on ourselves. And he said also being particularly careful not to become arrogant or angry at the one who has sinned. Also, a way to stay in step with the Spirit is by bearing one another's burdens, and by testing our own motivation and our own work, and finally, by bearing our own load. We covered these five actions, and we did so in the context of those who have been given great privilege, but also need to bear great responsibility. And that same thought continues through our study today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Anyone who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Remember, we had those five actions last week, and so I say today that our sixth action, or our sixth way to stay in step with the Spirit, is to share our blessings. That's our first point, is share our blessings. Note here that what Paul says is both individual and corporate. It's incumbent upon us individually, and it's part of what we do in the body of Christ. What he's saying is that any member of the congregation who benefits spiritually from a dedicated teacher is responsible for sharing, and he says, all good things, quote unquote, all good things with the faithful teacher. Now, the first thing that Paul assumes here is that each congregation does have at least one well-qualified teacher who has the responsibility to teach the truth of the Word of God. I believe that Paul here is making a case not just for having that one or maybe even multiple trustworthy teachers, as opposed to the teachers that the Galatians were receiving from the Judaizers, but that there was a need for, I think he goes on to say that there's a need for a regular diet of good theology to be taught, so that the impact of these false teachers, like the Judaizers, would not have the destructive influence that they did have, to the point of the need for this letter to the Galatians being written in the first place. What I think he's saying is this: solid biblical teaching is the basis for strong individual Christians. And then strong individual Christians come together and make for a healthy, doctrinally sound church. When men and women that have been gifted by God to teach respond to their calling and are fruitful with their gifts, they should be a blessing to others. And when individual Christians are spiritually blessed, they in turn have the responsibility to share all good things with those who have been blessed by them. Now, I think it's clear that what Paul's talking about here is part of that blessing he's talking about is the financial responsibility of the body of Christ to take care of their teachers. But I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes beyond when he says all good things. In our short time here, Karen and I have been really blessed. We've been blessed by your gifts of produce from your gardens, cards on our birthdays, being sung to for our birthdays, being given grace and understanding when my work schedule doesn't allow me to be here, being given grace and understanding when there's times that Karen's needs don't allow us to be here on Wednesday evenings, and also being blessed by knowing that we've been prayed for regularly and even asked questions when Karen does go to a doctor's appointment, and knowing that you're praying for that, and then when we come back, you ask and say, how did it go? And you know that you, and we know that you continue to pray. I've also had multiple verbal expressions of thanks and appreciation for simple things like phone calls, just to check on people. And then I also find that one of the greatest compliments that I've received so far since we've been here has been being asked to provide sermon notes, which I didn't do today because it's a relatively simple sermon. But being asked to provide sermon notes, because that means that you're listening and you're wanting to know and you're wanting to learn what we're studying from God's Word. And to me, that's just a great blessing. That's something that just goes above and beyond and blesses me and my wife as well. Then again, I have considered the fact that maybe you're asking for the notes because I'm a little bit confusing. I realize that does happen at times, and if it does happen too much, please let me know. But in all seriousness, you need thanked as a congregation. Our previous service in the Lord was nothing like this, and we are blessed. We are blessed by you. So thank you. The sharing of all good things is the Greek word koinonia, and as a reminder that the church is a living, breathing organism, not just this building, but it's the body of Christ. It's made up of brothers and sisters who come into the family by the saving grace of God, and we all need both this. We need the fellowship to help us to stay on track, and the partnership to continue to work together with the gospel, spreading out to the community around us to see others come to faith in Christ. I've already said it, but I need to say it again. I believe that you, church, share your blessings well. Now, not only are we to share our blessings, but our seventh way to stay in step with the Holy Spirit is to sow to the Spirit. Our second point today is sow to the Spirit. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Paul continues this flesh versus spirit theme that he introduced back in chapter 5, and he's been expanding on in various ways. Note here the repeated use of the word one and the words he and his. When he uses the singular words here, he's saying that it is our individual responsibility as men and women who have been called to be sons and daughters of Jesus Christ to sow. It does happen within the body, but the responsibility that he's placing here is on one, or he, or his. So it's our individual responsibility to be sowing, and sowing to the Spirit. Paul also returns to this thought that we looked at last week of being self-delusional. Not only can we be so proud of ourselves that we provoke and envy one another, in fact, let me go back to chapter 5, verse 26, the closing verse there of chapter 25, and read it. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. But we can also get to the point with pride that we sometimes think so highly of ourselves that we've arrived to a point where we no longer sin. And that's just as deceptive as well. Another place we can even go that's deceptive to ourselves is that we somehow think we're indispensable to God and to His church. And we can convince ourselves, I think the passage is saying, that we can live like hell and still receive heaven. The stories of pastors being removed from office due to extramarital affairs, or treasurers stealing from the church, or the unbelievable elders or deacons or Sunday school teachers taking advantage of young people is just way, way too common today. The divorce rate among those in the church sometimes equals that of the world, and many clearly understood and long-held positions of the church seem to be changing in many areas. One of those areas seems to be in the area of marriage. The church today seems to want to allow a non-believer and a believer to be married, which seems to be dead set against Scripture. How can darkness and light have fellowship together? And then, of course, there's other issues as well, like homosexual belief and practice, and how that worms its way into the church. And so we can be deceived. We can be deceived into thinking that we can do these things and still receive heaven. Paul uses the analogy here of sowing and reaping to once again challenge the Galatians and us, that we need to test ourselves. We need to see whom we're trying to please. What are we doing with what we have received from God? Are we yielding to our primal appetites? Are they being fed, or are we living life in view of eternity? Remember that Paul's made it abundantly clear that we are justified by God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. We are saved by grace through faith. But Paul also wants the Galatians to understand, and for us to be able to balance that truth with the truth that once we are saved, we will be working for the Lord, not to earn His favor, but to thank Him for the grace and forgiveness that we have received. Said another way, and this is a good quote, it's not from me, I'm taking it from a friend, but it's a good quote to write down if you're taking notes. And he said it this way: faith follows grace, and fruit follows faith. Faith follows grace, and fruit follows faith. Paul now takes this concept of bearing spiritual fruit and expands it with the concept of sowing and reaping. If we're sowing selfishly to fulfill our own desires, he's very clear, it ends in corruption and destruction. If we're sowing to the Spirit, we will reap a spiritual harvest of eternal life. It seems to be as if Paul's letter here is coming to a conclusion. It's coming to a climax. And he's saying that this is the hour of decision. I've said everything that I've said up to this point right now to get you to decide what path are you going to follow. Are you going to follow the flesh, or are you going to yield to the Spirit's control? Do you remember the series title? Truth or Consequences. So he's saying, if you're striving for and yielding to the Holy Spirit and following the path of truth, blessings and endless blessings into eternity will follow. But if we're feeding the flesh, if we're gratifying the desires of the flesh, the consequences are dire, and severe. He doesn't leave room for sitting on the fence here. He's saying that it is individually each one of our responsibilities to decide where we're going to sow. And where we decide we're going to sow determines what we're going to reap. He additionally says there, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God cannot be mocked. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. He sees what we may think is unseen. And he is just. And he will deal with each one of us accordingly. So one of the ways to stay in step with the Spirit is to share our blessings. Another way is to sow to the Spirit. And then thirdly, Paul says, stay the course. Stay the course. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Note that this action to stay in step with the Spirit is corporate. It's part of the whole body of Christ. He's saying us. He's using the word us. Let us not grow weary. As we have opportunity, we, the body of Christ, have the responsibility to encourage one another to continue to meet together, even as the writer of Hebrews says and challenges us to do. Additionally, Paul says that we have the responsibility to wait for the proper harvest. Everything has its season. Every crop has a growth cycle that it goes through until there is something to be harvested. Paul has likely experienced the weariness of sowing and even seen some of the harvest in peril, like he's seeing here in the churches of Galatia. He's seen how the enemy can steal the seed that was planted. And he knows that even working together for the cause of the gospel, we can be prone to lose heart. We can become discouraged in our work for the Lord. But we shouldn't be. Because Paul knows that one of the greatest obstacles for us to continuing to work together to come into the right relationship with God and then maintain that right relationship with God and not get tripped up in our relationships with others is simply fatigue. He says, and let us not grow weary. Remember, just last week, we looked at part of the work that we do as the body of Christ is restoring gently those who have been trapped in sin. That can be difficult work. It can be hard for us to want to see through to the end, but it is something that we need to. And he gives us two ways, two incentives to keep going. The first is this, that just as the farmer tills and fertilizes and plants and maybe even have to irrigate and await the proper time of the harvest, so we too must see the process through to the end at the proper time. For in due season we will reap, he says. And then secondly, we are the second way that he encourages us, the second incentive that he gives us is this, that we're part of this great family of God. We have been chosen by him and placed in this local body of Christ. While we do have work to do outside the walls in spreading the good news, we also have work to do here in the body as well. Again, church, you do well here. You not only give out backpacks and financial help within the community, but you give gifts of food to hurricane victims and meals to those within the body who need a little assistance and a little pick-me-up. You serve in every area and every way possible to keep the building up to date, to keep the grounds taken care of and well manicured. You also take responsibilities. And I could go on and on. I could think about many things, but here's the two that I thought of. Finances and flags. Even something as simple as coming on a Wednesday night and volunteering time to put up the flags to remember the mission that we have to share Jesus Christ with others. But then being faithful in your finances as well and making sure that when there is a need in the community, when it goes there, when there is a need for victims in Florida of a hurricane, the money goes there as well. And then a regular contribution to missionaries around the world to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I guess the best way I can sum it up is this. You're do-gooders. Where do I get that? I get that right from the passage. The passage says to share all good things with the one who teaches, and as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, including those who are of the household of faith. You are good at being do-gooders. As we share our blessings and sow to the Spirit, may God grant us the ability to continue to do so, to steer clear of fatigue and stay the course together. Let's continue to be let's continue to be do-gooders until we hear that well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, as we've mentioned this morning in so many different ways, we recognize that we are blessed to live in a country with great freedom. And beyond that, Father, we are so incredibly blessed as believers in Jesus Christ to live in this great country and have the freedoms that we have to do many things, from choose our own life's occupation to worshiping you in spirit and in truth, gathering together on a weekly basis and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. So, Father, we are so greatly blessed. We don't want to take that responsibility lightly. We want to continue to do the things that we've been doing. And, Father, for some of us, as we're growing older, as we're seeing our energy wane, as we're seeing the pains of life come upon our bodies, we recognize that we may get discouraged. We recognize that we may grow weary. But you want us to be encouraged. You want us to know that you are with us. You want us to know that you have purpose for us. You want us to know that Paul knows and understands. You know and understand. So, Father, help us to continue to share our blessings. Help us to continue to sow to your Holy Spirit and not to our flesh. And then, Lord, when we weaken, may we come alongside of one another, bear one another's burdens, and continue to stay the course. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for this book of the book of Galatians that has encouraged us and told us who we are in Christ, how we got to where we are, and how we can continue to serve you and bring you glory. Help us to do so each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do not forget the time of fellowship and food over in the fellowship hall.